Praise God. Well, great kids, you did a great job last week, so bless you. You'd have a great party out there as the kids go out there today. Praise God. Just as the kids are going out, I think a lot of the parents are going out, so maybe I'll do a little bit later on. But I'm going to give people an opportunity a little bit later. I don't need that, thanks, Gary. I'm going to give people a little bit later on an opportunity to give testimonies this morning. So if you've got a testimony that God has done something this year, you want to give a testimony, just a quick testimony, don't need a five-minute thing, just 30 seconds, a minute, just something that God has blessed you with this year. I want to talk about giving thanks today. And so it'd be great for some people to get up and give thanks when I give you that opportunity a little bit later on. But let's just bow our heads, let's just pray and keep our focus upon the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, Lord, that you've already spoken to us, Lord, in many ways, Father. And Lord, we open our hearts to you, Lord, that you might speak to us as we open your word now. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can open your Bibles this morning. You might want to look in the book of Psalms. If you like, we're going to read quite a few Psalms this morning. But I want to talk about giving thanks. We've been talking about worshipping the Lord. And one of the important part of worship is the ability to give thanks unto God. And sometimes when people struggle with worship, and I'm not talking about our lifestyle of worship, we know that worship is every day, but our corporate expression of worship, when we're coming together to honour the Lord, to lift our hearts and honour him together, is that maybe there's that not they're not mindful of what God has done and who God is, and therefore we find it hard to give him thanks. So I want to talk about that, about giving thanks. This is a time of the year where people are running around very crazy. You know, it's very hectic. Muriel went to a shopping centre yesterday. I'm just saying, look, it was just absolute madness. Well, I haven't ventured into the madness as yet. But just said there's just people everywhere. People are running around getting stuff and buying things. It's a time for some people who really feel a lot of pressure. They've got to come up with all this stuff that they have to give to all these people, whether they're relatives or whoever, and can be a lot of pressure on people. And then it's a time for some people where they become very mindful of not what they have but what they don't have and what they can't afford or what they can do or what they can't do. And people can get caught up in a spiral. And I want to talk about giving thanks, because if we're not very careful, then we can have a heart that is not a thankful heart, not a grateful heart, and that will affect our whole life. Psalm 95 verse 2, it says, "Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And that's what we do when we come together worshiping. We have music, we have song, we honor God. And the scripture tells us, come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. That's what we've been talking about in the last little while, is about our worship, that corporate expression of worship with music, but with singing, with our voices to honor him and to give thanks in that process. And is thanksgiving something on your heart when you were singing this morning, when you were here this morning in that time of worship? Was there a gratitude upon your own heart? Were you worshiping God out of a grateful, overflowing heart? Is that something that's always got to be part of our lives, that there's a thanksgiving before God as we worship and honor him? Another scripture is in Psalm 69:30. It says the same thing. It says a declaration. It says, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." Is that your testimony today? I will sing. I will praise God's name in song. It doesn't say, oh, I just praise him in any other way. No, I praise him in song. And it's important you lift your voice. As I said, it's not a matter about what you think of music. It's not a matter of what even you think of your own voice. It's about your own heart giving expression and praising God. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. I want to talk about thanksgiving, about the whole thing about giving thanks unto God. I want to look at three things: appreciation, gratitude, and praise, because how they all flow one for the other. And people who struggle in corporate worship really struggle in the whole area of understanding with a great appreciation who God is and what God has done. I want to talk about appreciation first of all. And so many things in life that we take for granted. And I'm sure this morning there are many things that you did this morning and many things that you had and experienced during the week that you didn't even think twice about. You just took those things for granted. It says in Psalm 103:2, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It's funny, isn't it? It's a strange psalm. This person is telling themselves, praise the Lord. So the writer of the psalm is saying, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why do we have to be reminded of that? It's because sometimes we forget. And we have a problem, we have things that are impacting our lives, and all of a sudden, all of the good, all the blessing of God goes out the door, and all our focus suddenly becomes upon the pressure or the struggle or the problem that we have. But the scripture says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget ever what you have in the Lord. Don't forget the incredible salvation that you have. There's so many people, billions of people upon this earth who do not know what you know, who do not have what you have, that are desperately seeking to find the very meaning of life, the purpose for why are they upon the face of this earth? Why am I alive? People that are desperately seeking to find out why they're here. Well, you know that. You know the answer to life. You know everything that is required for life because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you don't ever forget that. Never forget that you have the promise of eternal life. You have eternal life. You get overwhelmed. Oh, today, oh, woe is me. And we all go through major problems over struggles. But you have the promise of eternal life. Eternal life. How long are you going to live upon this earth? 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years? You're going to live forever in eternity with the living God. Forever. And what a wonderful thing to give thanks for that. But sometimes, oh, woe is me. How can I lift my hands? And because we're so caught up with what's happening in the here and now, we forget that we're going to live forever. Don't forget that. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I just want to remind you of some of the benefits that you have in your daily life. So the great wonders and treasures we have in the Lord. But just think about the rest of the world for a moment. I want to tell you some stats. In the world, over 2.6 billion people don't have basic sanitation. So they don't have running water, they don't have toilet sewerage, they don't have anything. 2.6 billion people. But how many of you today, you trust that you went to the toilet at some time today? I'm sure that you brushed your teeth. You've had some water. 1.1 billion people in the world don't even have any access to water. So they've got, and it's a major killer of children is dysentery. Massive, millions and millions of children die every year because they simply don't even have water. We go to the tap any time. We're worried about, oh no, we're only allowed to use 140 litres, is it? 141 litres, 140, 155? Okay, we're a good family. We use less than that. But whatever it is, okay, we're so worried about how much. They would love to be able to have 10 litres of water a day, even 1 litre of fresh water today. But we just take that for granted. We don't even think about it. 2.5 billion people, they have to use wood to cook or dung or coal. That's how they cook. 2.5 billion people. How many of you had your breakfast and cooked it on dung this morning? None of you did. Another great killer of children is the poisonous fumes that come from cooking in their homes, from biofuels. And so many children die as there is from malaria. Malaria is a massive killer. But as many of them die simply because they're cooking in their own home with a biofuel, with burning dung or coal or wood or whatever, the fumes kills them. Terrible. How many of us? But we just take that for granted. 1.6 billion people don't even have electricity. We have a major storm and the power goes out. We're running around like headless chickens trying to find a candle or a torch or something, and the power's been off for 3 hours now. 4 hours, that's disgraceful. We get all upset because we haven't had power for 3 or 4 hours. Over a billion people in the world that don't even have any access to electricity at all. And yet we can certainly be thankful for that. Half the world's population live on $2.50 a day. Some of us whinge, we can't do this or we can't do that. Half the world's population live on $2.50 a day. 80% of the world's population live on less than $10 a day. 80% of the world. 6.5 billion, over 4 billion people living on $10 a day. And you think, wow. And so you be thankful. We've got to be thankful for what we have. This time of the year, people think of all the things that they don't have. Oh, I've only had this or could do that or whatever. I don't think there's anybody here that's living on less than $10 a day, but 80% of the world are. In Australia, we have 105,000 homeless people, but I guarantee that every one of us last night had a roof over our head. I guarantee every one of us had a bed to sleep in and you had a pillow, and yet there's 105,000 people in Australia that don't have anything. that don't have a home, don't have anywhere to call their home. On any given night, there's 105,000 people. There's 50,000 people in Australia that are blind. How many can read that scripture? I think all of us can. And yet we just take that for granted, our own health. 480,000 people are vision impaired. There's no way they might even read the screen, maybe not even see that there is a screen to look at. But we just take things for granted so easily. A quarter of women in Australia, terrible statistic, a quarter of them are subjected to domestic violence. One in four women will experience that, according to the statistics. You know, that's a horrific statistic. And there's so many lonely, broken people, and we just can take all of this stuff for granted. And so I just want to remind us of what we have. Be so grateful for what we have and appreciate it. Find a value in what you have, because you can give thanks for that. You're worried, oh, I've got a flat tire. You think that's a problem? You know, third world countries where people are starving, those things. And we say, God, I just thank you for all of the things. I am so blessed, Lord. I could have been one of those people, but Lord, I am so blessed. And Lord, and be over all of those things that you've given me in this life, Lord, that I found you. And Lord, I appreciate that, and having a real appreciation for the things in life. And if we have that appreciation, then we can begin to talk about being grateful. But appreciation, finding the value in what we have, that's what appreciation is about. It's so important to do that. I just want to show you this little clip now. Back in January, there was a plane that crashed into the Hudson River back in the middle of January this year. Quite a miraculous thing. Normally, if a plane lands on water, forget everything else. It's not a good outcome. But this was a miraculous outcome. And some of the survivors, I just want to just show this, who suddenly found all the things they took for granted, they had a real appreciation in life. So let's just put this clip on.
...into the crash has already revealed that the impact of landing on the river caused a breach in the plane's rear bulkhead, allowing water to rush in. What's never been questioned is the scale of Captain Chesley Sullenberger's miraculous achievement. Without his training, knowledge, and remarkable skill, and the skill of the crew, the outcome of Flight 1549 could have been very different. But even he hasn't fully grasped its magnitude.
Since that day, that's the single word that my family and I have been using to describe this entire experience is surreal. It's hard to believe it actually happened.
Joined by chance, 155 people who faced death, not once, but twice, on a cold day in January.
And look at my wife differently, hug my kids differently. I try to look at the positive side of it, because it could always been so much worse that day on the Hudson.
I've questioned everything now. Is this the type of work I'm supposed to be doing? You know, is this, there's so many things that you can't help but to question and wonder. What's next?
I see it as a second chance for life. My husband and I are adopting. We've signed up with an agency to adopt a baby.
My life has been touched by a miracle, so I have to give back some sort of, to something.
I know there's other things I'm supposed to do with my life, and I think there's 154 other people that also have something that they're supposed to do with their life.
I wanted to get home and see my family, and I flew home.
Okay, very dramatic, isn't it? Miraculously, not one person died in that aircraft crash, which is quite amazing. But people are beginning to look at their life, and rather than looking at all the things that they don't have, all the things that are going wrong and everything else, it suddenly gave these people an incredible appreciation of what they had. Now, how much more should we who are in Christ have an appreciation of all of the things that we have? Why would it take a tragedy? Or why does it take something to shake people? And certainly for unbelievers, we don't need something to shake us, that we might be mindful of everything that we have in our Lord and be appreciative of that, to find the value in those things. That God is an awesome God who's given us so much and so freely. And sometimes even in talking about appreciating God and for all that God has done for us and all that God gives us, but also even with one another, to appreciate one another. It's only when you don't have something that you suddenly appreciate, maybe you realize for sometimes the value of some. Sometimes people take each other even for granted, and then suddenly something happens and that person is no longer there, and they suddenly realize the value in that person, or what people do for one another, how important it is that we're mindful, that we appreciate and honor one another. Saying, oh, only if my wife was like this, or my husband was like that, or my children were like this, or my job was this, or that was that, or whatever. People look at everything else and don't find the value in what they have. And I encourage you to find the value in what you have, because it's so important. And certainly in finding, appreciating what you have in God is so important. And all the Lord has given us, we had communion this morning, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, that God himself would come down and walk among us as a man, and would come and give everything, die upon the cross for us. How can we not appreciate what he has done for us? How can we not have such a worth in that he loved us that much, that he would die on the cross for us? What an amazing thing. How can we not for one moment appreciate that? We really need to realize what we have in the Lord. And once you begin to appreciate the value in something, that's when gratitude begins to flow. And sometimes people don't seem grateful because they don't see the value in what they have, or in a person or in a thing. They just don't see the value in it, and therefore they're not grateful. But when we see that, when we begin to appreciate, then we begin to see the value in something, then gratitude begins to come in our heart. And we need to be able to have that with our own heart. I want to read Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. It's a very powerful thing to be grateful. Scripture in many places encourages us to give thanks to a grateful heart under God. Let's read it. Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he has pronounced. It says, give thanks to the Lord. And just as you look at it, it says, make known among the nation. It says, tell of. It says, to remember those things. And if you meditate on the good things that God is doing and the good things that God has done and the good that God is, who he is, then you begin to have a grateful heart. And a grateful heart is a heart that cannot help but worship. If you were in a desperate need, desperate need, just say, for example, that your house was about to be coming, the bank was going to put your house on auction, it's going to be a fire sale, you're going to actually get rid of the house, you may even walk away with debt and still have no house. And if you were in that situation, how would you be? You had an order from the bank, your house was going to be auctioned, they were going to sell it, and you're probably going to end up still owning money without having a house. Now just imagine if you were in that situation, and someone came up out of the blue to you, just came up to you and said, look, you know, God stirred my heart, and I happen to be a Texas oil millionaire or whoever it is. They come up to you and say, look, God just put on my heart, here's a check for your house. God wants to bless you with that. Now, how would you feel about that? Would you go, oh, gee, thanks, mate, no worries, thanks. It wouldn't be like that. You'd be so grateful. Wouldn't you be grateful? Well, you ungrateful ones, it's not going to happen to you. I would be grateful. I'm sure every one of us would be grateful. Of course you would. You'd be, oh, thank you. And then you'd be praising God. You'd be jumping out of your skin. God has given you far more than a check for a home upon this earth. He's given you the blood of Jesus Christ, which has given you an eternal home in heaven. How can we not be grateful for that? How can we not say, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done, the Lord, that you've given me an incredible life. It talks about being grateful. And as I've already told you, I said I want some people to give some testimonies. What has the Lord done for you this year? Or of all you can think about is the woes and the problems, and then you've missed it. You've missed even God's hand in those circumstances, God molding you and working upon your life, even in those very things. But what's God done for you this year? Has he done something that you're grateful for? Is there any grateful people here? Put your hand up if you're grateful for what God has done. Well, come quickly. I want to hear some people this morning. So just come quickly at the front and the microphone I've got. Just want to hear some testimonies. Just quickly. Scripture tells us, it says, give thanks to the Lord, make known among the nations, Tell of all his wonderful acts. Remember the wonders he has done. So just for a few, come on the platform. Just come around this way. That's it. And let's just remind ourselves of what God has done. Bless you, Graham.
In June and July this year, I was bedridden with hepatitis, and I recovered from that. But that's not really what I want to praise the Lord for tonight, today. I attended the Grow conference like many of us did, and I was really blessed. And I was challenged at the conference to just spend more time with the Lord. And in my case, what I needed to do was just get up a bit earlier in the morning and just spend that time with him. And I really enjoy that time, and it's just a really blessing to me. But beyond that, it's just provided so many opportunities in my life to witness to other people that, before occasionally someone would come across my path, but since then it's just given me so many more opportunities, and I really thank God for that.
Just confirming what Gary said earlier, how do you know when you've received a word? Well, quite often God will test you on that. And earlier in the year, I believe God gave me a word about grace. I believed it was a corporate word. It was about grace is an extension of your own capacity. And several things have happened this year where things changed quickly, and there were real trials. And I just believe that God did extend the grace in my life to be able to overcome. And that's how you overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And when you speak that you've overcome, then you know that you've received that word, that grace is being extended in your life, and that's how you grow. And that's what we've been talking about. So I just pray that you will receive that word, that grace is an extension of your own capacity to be able to overcome. And God will test you on it, but so be prepared.
Thanks, Don. Josie, you haven't got written notes, have you? Oh, no. That's the sermon notes, that's okay.
Hi, everyone. This year I've really sort of grown in God, and it's mainly because we take, what I felt I've learned this year, we take our elders and our pastors for granted. And when you know the word is in the church and you take that away with you every Sunday and you meditate on it each day, I think God opens your eyes even more. So for me personally, I feel that the word in this church, we are very blessed. The young people in this church also, what they give, we take them for granted every Sunday. They stand up here and they sing. And you realise that they're giving us praise. They're giving that to us. They're giving us their time. And when you realise that, I think the gratefulness of God, you realise it's in this church. And also all my church family, I love you all very, very much.
Sarah?
Thank you. Noel spoke about seasons this morning, and for me that was really pertinent because this has been a very challenging season this year, but something that God's shown me is that no matter what season we're in, we're still in the season of harvest because we have Jesus. And to look to him, not to look for the answers, but to look for Jesus, because he is the answer. And he strengthens us and he gets us through everything, because he's the only one who knows the way out. So I just thank him for being my saviour, and I stand in his victory every day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. Paul.
Thank you. I praise God. I want to talk about the tithe and the offerings. When I was not working, I still giving the tithe and the offering. When I don't give the tithe and offerings, I feel something inside my heart that I'm missing out. So even though I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you haven't got anything, you give something to the Lord, and Lord will bless you. When I give tithe to the Lord, and I was not working that time, and I went home and I seen bunch of food front of my doorstep. I don't know who put it, but Lord multiplies. So if you give something to the Lord, Lord will give you back. Thanks.
Bless you, Paul. Thanks, God. Bless you.
I've sort of been challenged a lot this year as well, and I feel like I've met Jesus the gardener, because I feel like I've been pruned a bit. But Yeah, it's been good, and it's been really good to be surrounded by good people and people that sort of just move ahead. So that's been a real encouragement for me. And God's good. So God's always, you know, he's always there for you, and he's always going to bring you through. So praise God.
Yes, sir, Christian. Pigeon.
Last year we had the recession started, and thank God that Australia is not hit like where the US and Europe, many other countries hit. The recession in Australia is not that bad. And some of my friends, even due to recession, they lost their job. But God kept both of us in employment, in full-time employment, and nothing changed for us. It was great provisions, and we thank and praise God for his wonderful provision. Thank you.
Lorraine.
Yes, God's really great. He's brought us through a lot this year. And I praise him for our grandchildren, the three little boys we have with us at the moment. He's brought them through so much. They've had a horrific background. And what he's brought them through now is what you see now, is a beautiful three boys. We've also got a little grandson that was born last Christmas, Christmas Day. Christmas Day, that they were told that he would not survive 2.5 months early. He survived. It changed his mother, changed a lot of things around. Even as last week, the specialist said he wasn't sitting up, he wasn't crawling, he wasn't moving around, that something is desperately wrong. The day after, my daughter-in-law's out in the kitchen. She'd put the baby in his little couch, and she turned around, and there he was behind her. He'd crawled out to the kitchen.
Praise God. Amos.
Amen. Every day we owe God praises. I want to testify to the goodness of God this morning for what he is doing for me and my family. It is a very great thing for someone to live from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Many people were sick. Many people had died. Many people in prisons. But today we meet every day, you know, in prison and move around freely. You know, I just want to praise God this morning. This few days, 3 weeks ago, my son Jackson had been sick. We took him to Sunshine Hospital, and the doctor there couldn't find what really happened to this boy. They couldn't diagnose the sickness. The boy was dying. My friend Wilmont and I went there one morning. We saw the doctor. We called all of them there. The boy has died. What can we do? My wife was crying. All the children were crying. So the doctor looked at the boy and said, okay, I think what we can do is that we transfer him to a Royal Children's Hospital, because if the boy stay here, he would die. Obviously, the condition was worse. The doctor transferred him to Royal Children's Hospital. And yesterday when we went there, we saw the boy walking around the hospital bed. He began to walk, even to toilet, and do everything by himself, because they had done 10 tests and no response. But yesterday he was moving up and down, you know, asking for food. So it is a work of God. It's not doctor, it's not medicine, it's not nothing else but the good work of God. So we need to get praises, not all to it. This year, my wife, sister, Mary, who two of them have been separated for a couple of years, she was able to join us this year with all her children. So we just got to give praises to God, because we don't have nothing to give it to him, but it's just for us to come together and say, God, thank you. Thank you this morning.
Praise God. Let's again.
all of us can probably reflect the whole year, and you probably can think about 10 different things at least that God has done in your life and blessed you in. And just a couple of things, just a couple of small things that God does, and you sort of start to understand. Even just with my kids, through the studies at school, they've had, at times, they've had casual jobs and work. And one of the things that blesses me is that Rachel's got a new job. She's been working a few months where she does promotions work in supermarkets and other department stores. And this week, they gave her some really good work. It was going to pay really well, but it was providing sample alcohol tastings and whatnot. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that. And as a result, she missed out on quite a bit of money. But she stood her ground and said, no, and I know God's going to bless her for that. And I know that my kids, they've all got, Hayden's just been blessed with a job at Super Lucky Hut, but none of my kids work on Sundays. They're making a stand. They don't work Sundays. They don't work, they're not going to work on the day of coming to church, and they don't work Tuesday nights when it's Tuesday Night Live. So they make that commitment God provides. And I know in Brendan's case, he's had part-time work, casual work to supplement him, and he's been able to save up and buy himself a decent car, and that's before he got himself a full-time job. So I just want to just testify that sometimes we think, oh, you know, my kids, they're having work, oh, they must work Sundays. Well, no, you don't. You know, they've gone for interviews, and condition of employment was, I'm not working Sundays. And you know what? They've been honoured. They've been honoured, and God will honour you if you make a stand for him. That's one small thing. Miracle, the miracle of mathematics. I still, to this day, I have no idea. I'm quite sure Jeremy has no idea. We've got a board table in the front room, which we were moving from a office location, and it didn't fit into the lift, and it was just impossible to fit. There was no space, and there was mirrored walls, so you had to be careful how you moved it. And somehow, well, after we'd given up a few times, somehow it fitted, and we got it in, closed the door, took it downstairs. Just take it out the same way we took it out. And I still, to this day, mathematically it was impossible, but in God, anything is possible. And just thirdly, last Saturday, we went to a fancy dress in Maryborough. It was Chloe's 21st. I dressed up as Zorro. And a few days earlier, I wasn't really aware of consequences of it. I was on a tram that took off suddenly and threw me backwards, and I fell back into some poles and whatnot. And at that time, sort of just bruised my shoulder and around. I thought, oh, okay, I was okay. But come Saturday night when we got to Maryborough, Zorro was driving, and as he got out, as me stepped out, I was in excruciating pain, and I couldn't walk. I could just walk just a couple of little steps, and I was just absolute agony. So I sort of just made it through the night and found if I sat down, it was okay. And then when I got up again, it was really bad. And I wasn't able to come to church last Sunday. Stayed home and rested. And there was a lot of prayer poured upon me by you people and my church family. Come Monday, I got up thinking, oh, well, I might have to stay home again. Won't be able to go to work. Got up, felt pretty good. And So I can bend down, I can do everything. Like yesterday I was up on the roof cleaning all the spouting out, and I was up on the roof climbing up ladders. So I'm good as gold. So just praise God. God is just such a great provider.
Amen. Praise God. Pastor Pat. You the last one, I think.
Yeah, today I just want to give thanks and praise to my God, because I stand today in his life, and I thank him that he does give us life, and he gives us that life in abundance. We've had an awesome year this year, John and I personally. We've had the joy of celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary, as all of you know, and that is just an awesome thing. But the most important thing about that is that we love one another more today than we did when we met, and also the life that Christ has grown and continues to grow in us is just amazing. And yesterday we sat out, and you'll hear more about it, but out in our caravan. In the beginning of this year, there were many challenges that we faced personally, me with my health
and finances and many things that even our children didn't know. And yet I remember going to John and saying, this is 2009 and it's mine. And I kept claiming that. And whatever's mine is my husband's and radiates out to our family. And we've seen the fulfilment of that this year. That 50 years of marriage and the completion or the beginning of a dream, but God has made that available. But the most important thing I want to praise God for this morning is that I stand here amongst church family, amongst my family, and how much we love each one of you. And the greatest thrill that I've experienced this year is seeing you grow. We've become Grow Church. And the other Tuesday night at home group, combined home group, we gave out plants to the leaders and the hosts, a plant that would continue to grow. And as I looked at those plants as I was wrapping them up, I saw many of you. I see you at all different stages of your life, but I praise God for the growth. And there are many of you who have really stepped up and grown this year, and you know who you are. I don't want to name names, but there has been tremendous growth in you, and that thrills my heart to see how we are growing together to raise up this church to minister to this community, because we have the bread of life. We have the light of the world. We have all that this community needs, and the Lord is going to flourish us like a beautiful garden to minister to the needs of many people. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Pat. Pastor John, I think, is the final one.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. It's been a tremendous year. I really feel God has blessed us personally, I'm sure, and blessed the church personally in many, many ways, blessed people individually. And you can see that by the testimony and by the way, but just by the spirit in the church. This is a good, healthy church, amen? And we're able to rejoice in that and to see that, you know, God is here. God is with us and he's got his hand upon us and leading us and showing us so many things. And as we continue to abide in him and walk with him, he'll continue to grow us in every way, both in ourselves and in numbers. And we're seeing that so much. But as I said, it's just been a wonderful year. I think the culmination for that for me was just seeing the completion of the multi-purpose room. And yeah, it's every time I walk in that, I'm still amazed, you know, that how we done it, how it got built, and like Elder Gary said this morning, you know, that it's paid for, you know, that was able to be financed through faithful giving, faithful hearts, and generous people, and so that's just a tremendous blessing of God's goodness, Ben. Just God honoured the prayer of many, many people praying for that building, praying for the workers there that we wouldn't get hurt and, you know, everything could go well. And all that happened, you know, because of your prayers, because of God's faithfulness, your faithfulness. And it's such a joy just to walk in there, to see it being used during the week for so many things, and just to go out there to have fellowship and it's we've got a lovely kitchen now and the facilities, and I think it's just a real joy, and I'm sure there's many or all of you are starting to feel and enjoy the benefits of that. So I encourage you, when the service is finished, go out there, enjoy that, enjoy the fellowship. That's the important thing. Get to know people, get to know people's hearts, and that way we grow together, we fellowship together. So again, church, I encourage you that. And again, bless our pastor for your faithful ministry, pastor, throughout the year. And we know God's hand is upon our brother as he is, his hand is on all of us. And Pastor Chris seeks God for guidance and just for that leading and what he wants, what God wants him to speak to the church as he brings forth the word each week. It's It's called a thing called diligence, isn't it? That's what God encourages all to do, to seek God, to find God, and he will show us his purpose. He will show us his way. So bless you again, brother, for your love to us, to love to the church and to the people and to your family. We bless you. And as God blesses you. Amen.
I'll get rid of that. Praise God. Praise God. That didn't turn me off, did I? No. Well, it's just wonderful to hear. I'm sure if all of us would sit back and reflect on how God has blessed us this year. Too often in life that we just are so absorbed in the problems of the now, we do forget all the things that God has given us. And as that scripture we said at the beginning, it says, forget not all his benefits. Never forget what the Lord has done. Never forget that. And if we have that heart, if we appreciate what we have, we appreciate who God is, then there's a gratitude that begins to overwhelm our heart. And it's an easy thing to praise God when we're grateful. It's an easy thing when you're so grateful. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. But then beyond, so first of all, we've talked about having an understanding, having an appreciation for what we have. Out of that becomes a gratitude. But then there's something comes beyond just gratitude, and that is really the realm of praise. Because gratitude tends to be more reactive. It's more a thank you for what you've done. Thank you for those things. But praise is more proactive. It's more saying thank you for who you are. And just imagine, a wife takes a lot of time. She cooks a special meal for her husband and she lays it all out. And then the husband comes down and says, oh, thank you for this wonderful meal. You're a fantastic cook. Now, that's gratitude. But if the husband who goes up to the wife, nothing particularly has been done, and goes up to the wife and just says, I love you, sweetheart, gives him a kiss and just says, you're just a wonderful wife. Now, that's praise. Now, that's probably even a little bit more powerful than gratitude, isn't it? A lot of us can not even be grateful. Someone will go to all this trouble, do all this stuff for us, and we don't even notice. And so we've got to learn to be grateful. But we also, God wants us to be people that move beyond the realm of just gratitude, which is in response to something that has been done, into the realm of praise, where there's an appreciation for who that person is. And worship that person as God. And as we honor and we praise him for who he is, not just because he's our healer, our savior, one who's cleansed us, given us eternal life, all of that stuff, but we praise him for who he is. Lord, we just love you for who you are, the almighty God, the wonderful God, and begin to go into the realm of praise. And that's what it really means to praise. And we need to praise one another, to not just be grateful, oh, thank you for this, thank you for doing this, but just thank you for being you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being you, because there's no one else like you. Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. That's so important in relationships, to have that praise for one another, not just in response to what is done, but proactively praising for who they are. You build that into your marriage. You'll build that into a strong marriage, into a friendship with your kids, your family. Build those things in. So very, very powerful to do that. Don't forget to be grateful. Don't forget to appreciate what you have. But then build into that also that realm of praising and saying, thank you for being who you are. Just love you for who you are. And how much more that when we gather together that we honor the Lord and say, Lord, we just love you for who you are. Yes, Lord, I'm so grateful for what I have, Lord. I shouldn't take anything for granted. And Lord, all that you've done, that incredible sacrifice of Christ upon the cross for me. Lord, how can I not be grateful? How can I not give you thanks for that? But Lord, I want to praise you and worship you and honor you for who you are. And that's where God wants us to live in, not in just reactive gratitude. We've got to be grateful people who give thanks, but to live in the realm of praise, honoring God for who he is. And learn to do that, build that into every relationship that we have. That is so very powerful. I want to close with one scripture this morning. And I want to read this passage. It's from Jeremiah 30, verse 19. And I want to speak this prophetically over the church. From Jeremiah 30, verse 19. Because I believe out of our heart, we know that grow has been our theme for the year. The W on worshipping together, we've been talking about that in recent times. But I believe part of the heart of the church, yes, is for the presence of God to be so strong, for signs and wonders, miraculous, to be bursting forth in the life of the church, but of people that are wholly surrendered to God, who every part of their being just worship and honour God for who he is. That's the people that God has called us to be. So let's have a look at Jeremiah 30, verse 19. It says, "From them will come songs of thanksgiving." This is from you, from us, from Grow Church. "From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased." That sense of growing. We're going to grow in God, but also grow numerically. Believe God to speak this. "And I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained or not be ashamed." I believe that's what God is putting over us. "We're going to add to their numbers. I'll not be decreased. I'll bring them honor. They will not be disdained. But from them will the songs of thanksgiving come." I believe God wants that. And out of every heart, see, our worship flows out of us. What are we like as a church in worship? Well, it's you. You are the worship in the church. You are. The standard and the quality of our worship is you. It's your heart before the Lord. And do you not appreciate what you have? Aren't you not grateful for that? But more than that, to walk in that realm of praising God for who he is. I want us to stand our feet. I want us to praise God. I want us to give him thanks. Bless you, all those wonderful people that came forth and brought those testimonies. And look, I encourage you, as the year rapidly draws to a close, that you spend that time not saying, "Woe is the me of today," but look back across here and say, "Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for all that I have." If you think, "Oh, gee, it's been a hard year, I can't think of very much," well, then at least get into appreciation for what you have. But then stand in that place of gratitude and praise God just for who he is. And so, Father, we just want to honor you. Lord, we just are so thankful, Lord, for everything, Lord, that you give us. So never let us take it for granted. Father, we could be in those desperate situations of so many in the world. And Father, we just thank you so gratefully, Lord, that we're not there, Lord. Our heart is turned to those people, Lord, that they also may be touched. But Father, we are grateful for all that you've given us, Lord, all that we have. Father, help us never to take it for granted, Lord. And Father, help us to be grateful, Lord, to be thankful, Lord. And we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. You're an amazing God. Lord, that you'd even love us, yet, Lord, more than love us, Lord, you bless us abundantly, Lord. And we are so grateful for that. We're so grateful for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. For me, Lord, never let me take my salvation for granted, Father. Lord, help us to always be thankful, Lord, for all that you have done for us. But, Father, help us to walk in that realm of praise. Lord, will we just honor you for who you are? Lord, let us honor you for who you are, the great I am, the one who was and is to come, the loving Heavenly Father that lavishes us with his love and his grace and his blessing. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we love you. And Father, let that be upon our hearts. So let it be freely upon us. Lord, that we will sing those songs, Lord. Our voices will be raised. Father, our hearts will be yielded, Lord. Yes, even our arms lifted up to honor you and to love you. But Father, let praise be from our lips, Lord, for you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, Lord. And we honor your name. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're just going to have an opportunity to worship the Lord today. Just as we close this morning, if you need prayer this morning, there's an opportunity for prayer. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know eternal life, you don't know that salvation, you don't know freedom from shame, you don't know what it is to be set free, then I pray that God will bless you. You come forward this morning, we'll lay our hands upon you and pray for you this morning. But for the rest of us, let's just open our hearts and let's praise God with everything. Be grateful. Appreciate all that you have, but honor him for who he is. So let's pray. If you need prayer this morning, just as we worship the Lord, just come forward and we'll pray with you this morning. Thank you, Father.